good, isn't it? Praise the Lord, you know. When we come in this morning, I've really been emotional because of so many memories in this hall and in this room, and I don't want to go over them because I'll get emotional again, but we just thank the Lord we could come here this morning. You know, the other hall wasn't available. It's booked for a dance or some other thing. I'm not sure what it is really, but we appreciate it here. We weren't able to use the new hall because they're coming on Monday to put the floor in it, a new floor in it, and they didn't want the underfloor heating on in case of the facts for putting the floor in, but it's available after that. So we'll just see what happens. Praise God. But you just pray that the Lord will have his way. Amen. The Lord bless each one. This is a gospel message. And most people here saved, I'm sure. But preach on in it, isn't that right? Amen. Brother Terry's going to share his testimony tonight. And it's an opportunity to bring someone. I know it's hard to get people to come. And but all we can do is just go on with the Lord. Praise the Lord. Brother Frank Hall sent his greetings to everybody. He rang me on Thursday night when it's in service, and then I saw the message missed. I rang him when I came out, and he's wanting me to go across some weekend to speak for them over there. And Brother Frank's going to share, or Brother John's, and Frank will be preaching in Australia on Easter. So pray here for Brother John as well. And Brother Frank, it's really good that Frank's gone. And we were blessed with Brother Frank's ministry, weren't we?
Yes,
and we really appreciate Brother Frank. And Frank's come through a lot, physically and so many other ways, but he's still got on with the Lord. So we just thank the Lord for that. Praise the Lord. Let's turn in our Bibles to Hebrews chapter 2. And I want to just take three phases from this. How shall we escape if we neglect God's salvation? And just three things I want to bring out this morning. Escape, neglect, and salvation. It's just a simple thought, a simple message from the Word of God, but I trust that the Lord will bless each one. Therefore, Hebrews 2, verse 1 to 3. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense or reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard it? Praise God. Let's just bow our heads this morning, and if you have a need, just lift your hand to the Lord. And I know that there is a lot of people sick with flus and everything going around. Brother George isn't too well, and some others as well. God bless you, God bless you. Heavenly Father, we just thank you and praise you for this opportunity that we can come again around your word and into your presence by the new and living way through the precious shed blood of the Lamb of God. Thank you that we could come here this morning, Lord. We bless you, Lord Jesus, what you've done for us and for what you're going to do. We're so glad for your mercies and for your grace. Father, I pray that you'll cover us with your precious blood, that every spirit will be subject to the Holy Spirit. Sanctify this building and sanctify each one of us. Lord, I do take the Holy Ghost to help me, and I thank you that you will. And I pray, Lord, for the hands that's raised, you'll meet every single need in the name of Jesus Christ. And have your way this morning and touch hearts afresh. Maybe someone listening in, just touch them and minister to them. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Father, I ask you for those that are sick and laid aside, or Brother George, any others, Lord, that I can't remember, but you know them. I pray you'll touch them and minister to them in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray again for young Jeremy Robinson, for your touch upon him, for your mercy for him, Lord, in Jesus' precious name, and that you'll have your way in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. The Lord bless you this morning. We appreciate than letting us have the hall this morning, praise God. You know, we're living in a society with various means of escapism. And you know, I saw an interesting thing this week. There's a young man, he was a pop star, a music star, whatever you want to call him, 30 or 31 years of age, jumped out of the flat, killed himself from a balcony or wherever he was. And it's all and made the headlines all over the world, and it's terrible. But he was drugged out of his mind. It was his own wicked. The devil had got in. He was on the drugs and all the stuff. And that's what happened. Then somebody put a thing up, and there was a man that served 45 years in the military. 45 years gave a service to the nation. 45 years on the front line in war. And he never was mentioned. But this boy was mentioned because he was a pop star. And you see, what's happening is, young people today, older people today, they want some form of escapism. And they're trying the drugs, and they're trying the drink, and they're trying the many things, because they're wanting some form of escapism. And that's why they've been to these things. And, you know, many people go on computers for escapism. There's many means of escapism. And drugs is a means of escapism. And you hear people saying, if I had Friday in, I'll be out of it the rest of the weekend. I'm going to have a real good time. And what the world calls a good time is not really a good time. What the world calls a good time is to get blocked. Is to get off your head in drugs. And get off your head in some sort of powder. And do things that you wouldn't normally do, and say things that you wouldn't normally say. And then to open your spirit up for demon possession. And to cross in that channel that only a spirit-filled man or woman will go into. But the problem is, the spirit-filled people are spirit-filled. But it's devils get in.
Amen.
And then somebody goes from depression to possession. The word goes further just to depression. It becomes a possession where the devil takes them over and he domineers them and he rules them and he guides them and he leads them and he ultimately wants to kill them and damn them to hell. That's his job. The Bible says the enemy has come to steal, to rob and destroy. But Jesus says, I have come that you might have life. And that they might have it more abundantly. Escapism. That's what's on our society today. Maybe somebody could listen in here this morning. And this message. Maybe somebody even in this room. And you know, maybe you're trying to escape. Maybe it's an escape from the call of God. Maybe God's speaking to somebody in this room or listening to this message. And there's a call of God on you. But you're trying to escape it. And you're so busy with other things that you've no time for God and no time for the things of God. And you're trying to escape the call of God. Now we read of a man in the Bible that done that. He was a prophet too, Jonah. He was trying to escape. God told him to go one way. He went the other way. Done the opposite to what God told him to do. But he ended up where God wanted him, didn't he? He ended up where God wanted him. You see, conscience is a wonderful thing, and our conscience guides us, and our conscience moves us, and I thank God for a conscience. I thank God for a young man having a sense of a conscience. When I did things, I was very convicted. I felt very guilty, and I would turn to the Lord and repent. And that's a good thing when you have a conscience. And even if you sin, your conscience can goad you. And it's a good thing when your conscience goads you. For the Bible speaks of those that have their conscience sheared as with a hot iron. And their conscience no more moves them. They're able to do things that normal people wouldn't do. Because their conscience no more moves them. See, many blame others. Many blame others. And they're trying to escape and they blame others. But our text doesn't say others. Our text says in verse 3, how shall we escape? You know, somebody could say, oh, but he wasn't a very good Christian and I never went, or she wasn't a good Christian and I never went. God's never going to ask you what she done or he done, God is going to ask you personally what you've done. How shall we escape? Adam and Eve trying to blame others to escape the guilt.
Yes.
That's what they done. Adam said the woman, and the woman said the serpent, and they blamed the other. But when you come up into the book of Romans, it doesn't even say the woman, but it says sin entered into the world by one man. And God blames that one man, Adam, for the sin. And just as sin entered into the world by one man, righteousness entered into the world by one other man.
Amen.
And just as sin separates us from God, and it puts us in a distance from God, this other man, the Lord from heaven, brings us back into fellowship with God. See, Romans 6 and 23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Death is a separation from God. There's a place called hell. There's no matter what one ever wants to go there. You know, the Bible is clear. The Bible says hell wasn't made for man. God never actually made hell for man. But hell was made for the devil and all those fallen angels that followed him. It was never made for man. But every Christ rejecter, everyone that turns down the word, everyone that rejects the word, is going to go to that awful, terrible place called hell. They're going to be separated from the loved ones. Here's the thing that the unsaved says, and they're so wrong. Here's the thing they say. They say, sure, when I die, that's it. That's for the wrong. When they die, their soul goes straight to the place called hell. And they're tormented for the fire burner, for the worm death, not tormented in a place called hell. We read Lazarus talks about it in the story of Lazarus and the rich man. It talks about it. It explains it. For he wanted water, that rich man, and he couldn't get water. He fared sumptuously every day while he was here. But they both died. One was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, which was a spice of a prepared place before Jesus went to the cross. And the other one was in hell. And in hell he could see, and in hell he could feel, in hell he could have the emotions, but he couldn't change nothing. He couldn't get peace, he couldn't get reprieve from the pain, from the thirst, from the suffering in hell. Hell's real. But Jesus died so that we wouldn't have to go to hell. That's why Jesus died. No one see and think when I die, that's it. But they're going to go to hell. A terrible place called hell. And it's not the end of it. And then remember after hell, that hell will give up the dead and there's a judgment. Do you realize there's a judgment for the unsaved? And the unsaved's not like the saved. Because the saved cannot be condemned for the past, for it's washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ. But the unsaved sins are there. They're there, bare. They're there before God. They're going to be judged on them. Because the blood of Jesus has never cleansed them, for they've never accepted them. I tell you, think of the embarrassment for any man or any woman. Think of even us that saved this morning. And don't think there's some sort of a halo over you, that you're better than somebody else. For every one of us have sinned, and every one of us has fallen short of the glory of God. And if God was to put our sins in that wall, we'd blush this morning. But thank God for the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
That washes our sins away from the very mind and the memory of God. No longer to be remembered against us no more. The unsaved haven't got that.
Amen.
But we have it. How are they going to escape? Jesus is the only way of escape. Luke 21 verse 34 to 36 says this, and take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your heart be overcharged with surfeit and drunkenness and cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass, and stand for the Son of Man. You see, if you were to go to Revelations
6, verse 12 to 17, and I'm not going to go into it too much this morning because I don't want to hold you long, because I want you all to come back tonight and try and bring some of it. But there's a sixth seed. There's a sixth seed. And those of us should be familiar with the seeds, the church ages, know there's a sixth seed, and it speaks of a great tribulation. And this is why, as a fellowship, we take it very seriously and very precious when we talk about the catching up, the rapture. We take that as a real serious doctrine and a real serious truth that God's given us. Because we don't believe we're going to go through the tribulation. We believe we're going to be caught away, raptured, and going to be with the Lord. And that there's going to be a tribulation come upon this earth like's never been seen before. Jeremiah calls it the time of Jacob's trouble. And I tell you, it's coming on this earth. And all the unsaved and all the Christ rejectors, they're going to be in a tribulation. And they're going to suffer. And I tell you, think of this evening. Even those that believe in the Lord but's never been sealed with the Holy Spirit, only the Spirit-filled people can go on the rapture. Do you believe that this morning?
Amen.
You have to have the oil of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
And I tell you, I don't want to be sealing my testimony with my own blood. I want to go on the catching up. I want to be part of the bride of Jesus Christ and go on the catching up. I want to be seen with the Spirit of God. I want to be filled with the Spirit of God. I want to have my lamp trimmed and burning when the Lord comes and catches us bride away. And I tell you, He's coming again. He's coming again. You could go through scriptures for those that want them. I'll give you them, but I'm not going to go into them. Jesus preached the sixth seal in Matthew 24, verse 29. Also, you could trace it back to Exodus 10. Verse 21 to 23 and Daniel 12, verse 1 to 10. And it's all about the sixth seal. And I tell you, there's a lot of emphasis around churches about the seventh seal. Mm-hmm. And so many people spell out about the seventh seal.
Yes.
But the Lord Jesus is silent on the seventh seal. But yet He mentions an awful lot on the sixth seal.
Yes.
And I tell you, the sixth seal's a thing. We need to be prepared that we don't go through the tribulation, because we know in the seventh seal it's a secret. It's the coming of the Lord. Jesus is coming again.
Amen.
Think of this morning. He's coming and no man knoweth the hour.
Yes.
No man knoweth the day. It's a secret. Mm-hmm. And we'll not meet Him in this earth. We're going to meet Him in the earth. We're going to have us receive a body change.
Yes.
We're going to be changed. We're going to be transformed. And we're going to meet the Lord in the earth. 1 Thessalonians 4:16. For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and the trumpet call sound, and the dead in Christ shall rise out of the graves. Those that are saved and sealed are going to come out, and they're going to come up, and then we're going to go up with them.
Amen.
And we're going to ever be with the Lord. Hallelujah. Isn't that wonderful?
Amen.
But it's only through Christ. Only through Christ. This terrible day of tribulation is coming. Christ is the only way of escape. If you turn down God's Son and do the spank, the blood and the covenant, there's no hope. Jeremiah 37 says, alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. If you go into your seven church age books, those that have a seven church age book, and all of you should have one. If you don't, there's some in the box. Chapter 9, and you go into the literacy in church age, you read about this sixth seal. And there's so many wonderful things which mentioned in there about it. And it explained out. I haven't time this morning to go into it. But there's an escape. Now I want to tell a story. And I've told this story before, and I've preach from some of these notes before. And somebody says you should never preach from the same notes twice. Well, I don't believe that. Because we read the same Bible and we can take one scripture and preach from it 1,000 times. Is that right?
Amen.
It's God's Word.
Amen.
God's Word. But I want to tell you this wee story just to bring across my point this morning. And I know you're listening well, and this is really for the unsaved, but I hope you'll be blessed with the gospel. This is a story, a fatal story, but true. And this was around the 1900. There was a connection between the island of Galveston and the mainland of Texas over an iron bridge. And this iron bridge was the only way in. And this is the fatal year in 1900. The United States government, they sent a warning out to all the citizens over the radios. And at that time, and they warned them that there's a torrential storm coming. How many heard of the storm yesterday coming? There was a yellow warning out for a storm. But you imagine if it went over the radios tonight that there's a storm coming here in Scarborough. And that was so severe of a warning that the government said, you need to get out of your houses in Scarborough. Just imagine there's a bridge that you have to cross to get out. Well, these people were in a place and there's only one way out over this wee bridge. And they were warned. This bridge took them to the mainland from this wee island. They were warned to go over the bridge. They were warned to get out. But that night when they went to bed, it was peace and it was calm. And they never heeded the warning. But while they were in their beds and while they were sleeping, the storm came. And the wind started blowing and the rain started blowing. And they had a torrential storm and torrential rain. And I tell you, it broke that bridge up. It destroyed that bridge. And the only way of escape was gone. And there was no other way of escape. And they lost their only means to get out from where they were to safety. And they lost their only hope to get out from where they were to safety. And I tell you, men and women today don't realize that Jesus Christ is the only way of safety to heaven. Amen. There's no other way of safety to the kingdom of God. I don't care what the Pope of Rome says, or Buddha or Muhammad, or any other false prophet. Jesus is the only way. And I tell you, if you don't pay heed to crossing over, when you're here and when you have time, there'll come a day when you can't cross over. And I tell you, that's exactly what it says in the story of Luke, of Lazarus and the rich man. There is a great gulf fixed between us. They that are hence cannot come thence, and they that are thence cannot come hence. In other words, you can't come to me and I can't go to you. There is a blockage. There is no way across. You've left it too late. And I tell you, think of our own loved ones this morning. Have sons and daughters not saved? And I want to God to be saved. I want to God to be in this house this morning and heed the gospel and turn to Christ and get saved. But they're too busy. And they've too many excuses. And the preacher's too loud or he's too quiet. Or the singing didn't suit them or someone else didn't suit them. But there's a day coming when God's not going to say the preacher was too loud. Do you realize that the voice of the preacher will ring on? I'll tell you, it'll not be too loud when the judgment day comes with it. I'll guarantee you, these people and this wee island when this hurricane came turned into turmoil rain, terrestrial rain, destroying the bridge like a match stem, smashed it to pieces, and there was no way out. And the way of hope of escape is spurned. There remains no other avenue of salvation. I don't care if Oprah Winfrey interviewed the top American preachers and they tell her there's other ways because they're thinking of their pocket and their fancy automobiles and houses. They're false prophets. They'll be there when the judgment comes and many of them will be in hell. Yes, you've heard me say it. There'll be preachers in the lake of fire. There'll be preachers in hell because they never were saved. They were false prophets, false witnesses that led God's people in the wrong way. You know, one of the greatest prophets there's ever been has to be William Marion Branham. And William Marion Branham said, I do not point you to myself. I point you to the Lord Jesus Christ. Where else could he point us but to the Lord Jesus Christ? Hebrews 10, verse 26 to 31 says this: For if we sin willfully after we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. And I tell you, it goes on, God's warning. God's word. You know, I met a man, and this man was a real, he was a bad lad, but he had a likableness about him. My brother Philip knows that I'm telling you the truth. You would have invited him to your house for tea if you didn't know him. That's how likable he was, but he was a rascal. But we met him at a certain place one day, and I went to him deliberately. He'd hid a bit from me, and I went over to him. I began to talk to him. And he started saying to me, "Tommy, can I ask you, could I do this and this and still be saved?" And I said, "You know, my conscience wouldn't let me do that. It wouldn't let me do it. The Holy Spirit would convict me. If I was to do some of them things, I'd be convicted. I don't feel I could do them. I would be asking the Lord to forgive me." But his conscience let him do it. He wasn't moved. He wasn't pricked. And I wondered how he went too far. People said he could see him. I don't know if he did or not. I hope he did. I trust he did. But only God knows. But I'll tell you, you can cross the line where there's no return. Here's the second thing, neglect. Now this is a word for the saved as well here this morning.
Amen.
Neglect.
Yes.
Neglect. How shall we escape when we neglect? Many of us has neglected many things, but the unsaved neglected God's provided way to bring them to salvation. They've neglected it. They've turned it down. The one thing that God's given, which even Christians neglect, is the Bible. Many neglect the Bible. They neglect to read the Word of God. They read papers, they read other things, but they don't read the Word of God. Many's embarrassed to carry a Bible. Yes, I'm going to preach it this morning. Think what you will of it, but sure it's the truth, isn't it? They're afraid to carry a Bible. They don't want to be seen carrying a Bible. But I tell you, this book is God's book. This is the best book you could ever have. This book's the living Word of God. There's life in this book.
Yes,
every answer's in this book. Every healing's in this book. Every blessing's in this book. We shouldn't be ashamed of this book.
Right.
We should be fit to carry in this book to church.
Yes.
We should be proud to carry it. The unseen's not ashamed to carry their puff pipe.
Right.
And they're on about smoking it and puffing it, and they'll blow in your face.
Yes,
but we as Christians have no backbone. We're afraid to carry our Bible. We're afraid to quote the Bible, to speak the Bible.
Amen.
But I would have God had give us backbone.
Yes.
That we would quote the Bible and speak the Bible and eat the Bible.
Yes.
And I tell you, if you eat this book, it'll affect you for good.
Yes.
It'll affect you for good.
Amen.
Make you strong in the Lord. It'll make you healthy in your body. It'll bless you.
Amen.
This book will bless you. This book says in Revelation, you'll be reading, you're blessed. There's no other book that you can read like that. There's a lot of books, and if you read them, they do you harm. They put you astray in your head. But this book will put your head right.
Yeah.
And put your mind right.
Yes.
Leave you real good.
Mm-hmm.
It's a cleaner, yeah. This book.
Yeah,
it's a purifier. Jesus says you're not clean through the words I've spoken to you. There's cleansing in this book. There's life in this book.
Amen.
There's righteousness in this book.
Amen.
The Holy Ghost wrote this book.
Amen.
We ought to devour this book.
Amen.
We ought to have a hunger for this book.
Yes.
Even though we're saved and we know it, we should keep on reading it. Keep on studying it. May God help us. This is God's Bible. You know, when you think of the man that burned on the stake,
yes.
Might I think of Tyndale? John Noble took me to the place for the memorial up there in England. And then I watched the video of Tyndale and of the Tyndale, what he wrote of the Bible and the New Testament. And it was wonderful, a wonderful work at that time.
Yes, amen.
How God used him, how God inspired him that he could have this Bible. What about the Waldenesians? That they killed them and they done all sorts on them and they memorized scripture. So that they could come together and one of them could quote John, one of them could quote Matthew, and they memorized the Word of God. It was precious to them. But how's the Bible today is no longer precious. It sits with dust on it. It sits in the shelf from one week to the next week. It's never opened. It's never read. But it should be a book that's read the most. It should be a book that's precious. I believe we should carry one in a vehicle we drive. We should have at least one in the house. I tell you, we should have a Bible. It's great to have a Bible. I love that wee song that our brother sang, that come with Brother Gary here, about the Bible. Sang about the Bible. And I tell you, we should sing about the Bible. We're preaching from the Bible. We're living from the Bible, I believe. And the Bible says we should be written epistles, seen and read of all men. God's word should be precious to us. So I tell you, we don't want to neglect the word of God. 2 Peter 1:19 to 21 says, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto the light that shineth in dark, unto the day dawn, and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing first that no prophet of the scriptures of any private interpretation, for prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God speak as are moved by the Holy Ghost. This word is thus saith the Lord.
Yes.
This is thus saith the Lord. I'm going to go one further. The Bible is our absolute.
Amen.
That's what it is. Yes. It's our absolute this morning. Do you believe that?
Yes.
It's our absolute.
Amen.
Psalms 19:7 says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. I tell you, is God's word good? God gave you the Bible to convert the soul. That's what he gave it for. Yet some neglect reading it every day. How should we escape? Seek the Lord. Don't neglect it. Read it. Read the word of God. Isaiah 55 and 6 says, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. You know, you need to call on the Lord for salvation. A lot of people, when you talk to them, they live good. They live good. They could live as good as any of us, but they're not saved. And if you really question them and you say to them, are you saved? Well, they tell you all what to do, but you're not asking them all what to do. You're asking them, are they saved?
Yeah,
if they were called on the name of the Lord and been saved, the Bible says, except a man call on the name of the Lord, he can't be saved. It's calling on the name of the Lord. The Bible says, confess to your mouth the Lord Jesus. Believe in your heart that God's raised him from the dead, and thou shalt be saved. It's that name again. Call him in that name. We must call in that name. You see, many neglect their salvation. There's another thing, many neglect the preaching. And they neglect the preaching. How many ministers over this country have had opportunities at a funeral, at a wedding?
Yes, that's right.
We're not asking that they preach for an hour. All they have to do is give witness to salvation.
Amen.
That's the most important thing. It's so important when you've an opportunity and there's the unsaved. They need to hear that Christ died for them.
Amen.
They need to hear that they can be saved. But how many neglect it? They neglect it. Don't neglect it. I tell you, the gospel's preached many times. Our meetings have no excuse. We as a fellowship's no excuse. I don't believe that any of the ministers that preach in this church is going to be held responsible. They preach the gospel. But I would warn you that saved in this house this morning, and those listening in that goes maybe somewhere else, how often in church are we wandering away?
Yes.
How often are we not there when the pastor or one of the deacons around us preaching? We're somewhere else. We should be attentive to the word of God. And when our mind takes us out here or yonder, the Bible says, cast down reasoning. You need to bring your thoughts into subjection to the word of God. You need to take control over it. And you need to pay attention. God could be speaking to you, lest you miss it.
Amen.
Romans 10 says this, verse 14 and 16. How then shall they call on him in whom they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him in whom they've not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? How beautiful. And look at this, it says, and how shall they preach except to be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings and good things. But they've not obeyed the gospel to the end. For Esau saith the Lord, who hath believed our report. There's a report, but it has to be believed. How many people have been around churches and meetings for years and are still not saved? Now it's not down to the preacher to save them. And if you're going to tell me there's such a man and he can save people, I'll tell you you're wrong. There's only one man that can save. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's my third thought and I'm closing. Salvation. There's escape. There's a neglect. And there's a salvation. This salvation is important. How should we escape when we neglect salvation? Salvation purchased by the blood of Jesus Christ on the cross. How near was I to the brink of hell? How near were you to the brink of hell? When I look back in my life, I thank God how he saved me and kept me. Thank the Lord for it. How deeply I was fallen. How great my sins. I wrote this all out. This is about me. You can put yourself in here. You might never have done the things I've done, but you are still a sinner. How dangerous must it be to neglect it? I had a friend, you know, I got saved, and I had a friend at a witness house to witness to him. I wasn't long saved. I thought a lot of this fella, big fella. He put on stuff that I didn't want to watch to try to mock me. Told him about the Lord and he laughed at it and he mocked it and he jeered it. There's another fellow was there and he was embarrassed because he was seeing, but he wasn't living like he should be living. God moved him and he got more serious with God, but the other fellow laughed it off. And he hadn't been on a murder bike for years and he got himself another one. And he was killed on that bike. As far as I know, he never made no signs or no opportunity to the Lord. But he was told about it. We don't know how long we've got. We can't say, I'll tell you what we'll do this week. You'll not do anything unless God permits it. For he holds the very breath we breathe. There's no other hope outside of this salvation. Hebrews 10:26 says, for if we sin willfully after we have seen the knowledge of truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sin. There's people put it off for the last time. A man without Christ ruined certain. To be without Christ is to be lost. Matthew 25:41 says, then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, depart from me, ye cursed, and everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. You see, there's no way to be saved outside of Christ. It's Christ we need. And I'm reading yet scripture. This scripture, and then I'm going to come close, and the brother's going to come. And I appreciate it, Brother Gary, but the songs was wonderful this morning. Acts 4, verse 12. Neither is there salvation in any other. We can read that, and we can hear it in Sunday school, and hear it all our lives. And it becomes very familiar with us. But I want to tell you that it's one of the most powerful texts in all of the Bible.
Amen. Lord.
Neither is there salvation in any other.
Amen.
Don't care where you belong to or where you go. If you haven't got Jesus Christ, you're lost. But if you'll only come to him, you'll be saved. You'll be saved. I'm going to close. Praise God. I want to ask that every head be bowed and every eye closed this morning. I'm not going to make any ado to anyone to come up or anything like that. I'm not even going to ask you to raise your hand or nothing. But I want you where you're sitting to think this all over. And if you're not saved, this is an opportunity you could call on the name of the Lord and be saved. Right for your sin. All you have to do is say, Lord, I acknowledge that I'm a sinner. I need to be saved. And if you call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, you'll be saved. If you're here this morning and you're suffering in your body and you're sick, I want you to place your hand wherever you're suffering. I'm going to pray for you. I believe God confirms his word. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that you're still the same yesterday, today, and forever. You're a savior. You're a healer. You're a baptizer in the Holy Ghost and you're the common king. Father, you see, for people's laid their hands on the body's suffer. Lord, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ, touch my sister, touch my brother, the boy and the girl, make them whole and make them well. In the name of Jesus Christ, you sent your word and you healed them. In Jesus' name. Part us for your blessing. Bless your brother Gary as you come. Bless the singing and the fellowship. Bless each and every one. And we'll give you all the praise and all the glory. And Father, we pray for this evening as your brother Terry would testify how you saved him, that he'll bless him and give him great liberty in this house and save men and women in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless you. The brother Terry comes. God bless you.
Well, I would maybe sing that hymn in times like these, but I'm not sure, Matthew, if you put it up, if you'd be able to say it at the back, if not, we'll sing something from the hymn book. Can anybody back see that, okay? Yeah? Okay. I'm not going to stand on your feet and I'll sing that. In times like these, we need a Savior.